welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation Commentary. I'm Bob Thune, pastor of Cornvale Church. I'm usually sitting here around the table with my friends Dusty White and Chris Himmelman, but occasionally I do these commentary episodes, which tends to just be me, more of a monologue, more of a reflection on some of the things going on in culture, a little bit more editorial in nature. And also sometimes they're just easier to record in the summertime when people are traveling and taking time off, and so that's what I'm doing today. We'll be back next week with another fresh episode. And then actually, we're going to take a few weeks off at the end of June and beginning of July around the July 4th holiday. So you'll see a couple weeks of no new Wednesday Conversation episode in your podcast feed at the end of June and the beginning of July. Just letting you know that it's not a malfunction. We're going to take a few weeks off. We'll be back with another fresh episode starting July 10th. So there's still a couple episodes to come in June, but there'll be a few weeks at the end of June and the beginning of July when you will not see a fresh Wednesday Conversation episode in your feed. Don't freak out. It's by design. We planned it this way. It's not that anything has gone wrong. We are going to take a few weeks off. So with that, I want to talk this week about this question. What did Harrison Butker say? I mean, here's what happened. I have told you, listeners, that I tend to use Twitter as a news aggregator, basically. So I guess it's called X now, not Twitter, since Elon Musk took over. But I use that tool as basically a news aggregator. So I follow only about 120, 130 people who tend to be journalists, thought leaders, intellectuals, scientists, artists, theologians. And it's just a way for me to sort of gather what's going on in the world. And so that's how I tend to use it. Keeps me current on things that are going on both in the world and in the church. And a few weeks ago, May 11th, Harrison Butker spoke at a college commencement ceremony. And shortly after that, my feed started getting filled with all these tweets of people, condemning Harrison Butker, questioning Harrison Butker, being very worried about things that Harrison Butker said at the commencement of Benedictine College, which is a small Catholic university in the state of Kansas. And I was like, well, I don't know what he said. So I just, scroll on. But literally days and days worth of content on my feed kept revolving around Harrison Butker, what he said and what he didn't say. And then there was Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at a Kansas City Chiefs press conference answering questions from reporters about what Harrison Butker had said. There were late night comedy show hosts making fun of things that Harrison Butker had said. Suddenly it just became this big issue culturally. And so I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about it because I do think for Christians, there are some important things for us to learn here. First of all, who is Harrison Butker, you may ask? Well, he is the place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, world champion Kansas City Chiefs. He's 28 years old. He's an athlete at the top of his game. Obviously, I live in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where this podcast is recorded and emanates from. And many people here are Chiefs fans because Kansas City is only about 3 hours away. And the closest NFL market would be Kansas City or Minnesota. So you tend to have Chiefs fans and Vikings fans. And so a lot of people here are dialed into Chiefs media and what goes on with the Chiefs. So Harrison Butker spoke at this commencement of a Catholic university. And here are some of the headlines. Let me read you what the headlines said. So here's NBC News from May 14th. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker says a woman should be a homemaker in college commitment speech. Here's NPR. NFL responds after a player urges female college graduates to become homemakers. Los Angeles Times. Harrison Butker's commencement speech, : wives should stay at home. So you get the gist of how the media spun this. Is like, this guy must have said some incredibly misogynistic, demeaning things, telling women to stop working and stay at home and so forth. You're going to be surprised. Maybe you won't be surprised when I read the actual text of what Harrison Butker actually said. But what I want you to notice is how the media began reporting it and the sort of immediate firestorm that began to be created around these comments. Now, you would think, if you read those headlines, gosh, this guy must have said some incredible demeaning things, or must have told women, to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, or must have, condemned women having careers, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to see shortly that that is not the case at all. However, That's what everybody thought. In fact, there is an online petition calling for the Kansas City Chiefs to release the kicker from his contract with nearly 220,000 signatures, if you can believe that. I mean, suddenly people think that Harrison Butker should not have a professional career in the NFL because he said some things at a Catholic college commencement ceremony. I'm going to read you from the Los Angeles Times, May 15th. I already read you the headline. Here's a few paragraphs from their coverage of this event. Harrison Butker is a three-time Super Bowl champion and one of the most accurate field goal kickers in NFL history. The devout Christian used the opportunity to give some radical thoughts and controversial opinions during a 20-minute speech delivered at the ceremony honoring the 485 students graduating from Catholic private liberal arts school in Atchison, Kansas on Saturday. Butler took shots at gender roles, abortion, President Biden, and Pride Month during his Benedictine address. Now the NFL appears to be distancing itself from the 28-year-old. Harrison Butker gave a speech in his personal capacity. Jonathan Bean, NFL Senior Vice President and Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer, said in a statement emailed to the Times, his views are not those of the NFL as an organization, because that's, of course, what we all have to say now, is that this person speaks for themselves, not for the organization, as though we didn't all know that. It goes on to chronicle rather cynically what Butker said. Now, the National Catholic Register did us the favor of actually posting the entire text of Harrison Butker's May 11th speech at Benedictine College. I'll post it in the links, or in the show notes, rather, for this episode, so you can go read it yourself. I'll read you the first thing. I'm going to read you a few selections from Harrison Butker's speech, but I'm going to read you the first thing that I think got the media upset, and that is that Harrison Butker took issue with Joe Biden claiming to be a faithful Catholic. Now, keep in mind what's happening here, okay? Keep in mind the context. Harrison Butker is a devoted Catholic. He is speaking at a graduation of a confessionally Catholic college, and a small college at that. So he is a Catholic speaking to a Catholic audience. You with me? This is not at the University of Missouri. This is at Benedictine College in Kansas. And so he is going to sort of double down on what it means to be a Catholic. In fact, he's the sort of whole theme of his commencement address has to do with how to live as a faithful Catholic in a world that doesn't applaud that. Here is the third or fourth paragraph of his speech. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He says a few paragraphs later, if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice. As members of the Church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately our privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Don't be mistaken. Even within the Church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent. Our Catholic faith has always been countercultural. So he goes on to sort of describe to them, hey, you need to speak out. You need to be courageously Catholic. You aren't surprised probably to hear this from a Catholic speaking to Catholics at a graduation from a Catholic university. Now, here's the part where he addresses the women who are present. I want you to just hear how deeply misogynistic and absolutely anti-career, anti-success this is. Three paragraphs here. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are the most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother. I'm on the stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. There's a little parenthesis here that says, applause lasting 18 seconds. He goes on to say, she is a primary educator to our children. She is the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father. She is the person that knows me best at my core, and it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation. I say all of this to you because I have seen it firsthand how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life. Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, but if you asked her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. Number one, he's spending three of those four paragraphs talking about his own wife and commending her for the decisions she has made to be first and foremost a wife and a mother. And he says, I'm on stage today and able to be the man that I am because of her. That's a pretty honoring thing to say. Second, notice that he says, some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you'll bring into this world. He's just saying, you could have a career, but I bet you're excited about having kids and being a wife. Now, remember, he's speaking to a Catholic audience, people who have a high value for marriage and for the family. And notice nowhere in there did he tell women to be homemakers. He said his wife embraced one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. Now, what Harrison Butker is doing here is he's pushing back against the progressive orthodoxy, what Mary Harrington calls the progressive theology, that marriage and family ought never to be spoken of if you're talking to a woman, that the only thing that's okay to talk about is career, success, achievement, but that we should not commend and speak of marriage and family as an important calling. And in fact, I want you to notice that Harrison Butker uses the word vocation. What he's trying to capture here is the reality that being a wife, being a mom, is in fact a vocation. It is a calling. It is a job. It is something you have to give energy to in the world. And he's trying to raise and highlight something that most of our culture neither notices, nor commends, nor sees. I was thinking about Butker's speech through two lenses. I was thinking about my own daughter, who's a successful young lady, 22 years old, just graduated from college, has a degree, working a job. But if you asked her, like, hey, are you most excited about marriage and children? She would say, yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to and hope God gives me in life. That's not in contrast to going to college, getting a degree, having a career, but if you asked, are you more excited about working for the next 20 years? Or are you more excited about the possibility of being a wife and a mom? She would say the latter. I think that's true for many, many young women. And I think it's okay to say that. So does Harrison Butker. I was thinking of, as I read this, Alan Noble's book, You Are Not Your Own. One of the things that Alan Noble does in You Are Not Your Own is he chronicles things that make modern life discouraging, and the word he uses is sick. He says that the world is not built for human beings. That's kind of his thesis. And he chronicles all these various ways that our modern society does not honor humanness and is not built for human beings to thrive, but is built around efficiency and productivity and sort of the industrial age, and all of that militates against what it means to be human. And he's got a whole section in his first chapter on stay-at-home moms and how they get left behind and left out in our modern world. I want to read you now from Alan Noble's book, You Are Not Your Own. And especially if you happen to be a stay-at-home mom and you're listening to this, I bet this is going to name some things that you have felt and experienced. From page 12 of You Are Not Your Own, Alan Noble writes, imagine that you are a mother of two small children who wants to stay home and can afford not to work, an increasingly difficult choice in many cities. First, you have to get over a lifetime of cultural programming that has equated a meaningful life with a successful career. It's not just that you've been taught that you have the freedom to work outside the home. From your earliest school memories, every model of a successful person has been someone working outside the home. And every teacher has stressed the importance of a college education to prepare you for the workforce. Maybe you were raised in a more conservative religious environment where there was social pressure to marry young and stay at home. But even then, that communal pressure works against the rest of culture, which continues to treat the good life as the career life. But maybe you are able to beat back this cultural programming and convince yourself that caring for young children is one of the most fulfilling and natural forms of human work. You don't judge your friends for having careers, but you feel that foregoing one for a time is the right decision for your family. In your better moments, you even realize that the entire idea that your income determines your worth as a person is utter nonsense that can't stand up to 3 minutes of scrutiny. But most of the time, you feel both the pressure to stay home and the pressure to work outside it. Second, you have to deal with the loss of close community. It is normal for young people to leave their hometown after graduating high school or college, separating themselves from family and friends in order to pursue a good job for themselves or a spouse. But doing so means you stay home with two small children and no family within 300 miles. You have a few friends in the area, but because of urban and suburban sprawl, getting together is always an ordeal. In the day-to-day struggle of motherhood, you find yourself alone with the kids almost all the time. Third, when you do hang out with other adults, the topic of conversation almost always centers around their jobs, leaving you with little to contribute. You dread meeting new people because you know one of their first questions will be, "So, what do you do?" And you'll have to say, "I stay at home with the kids." Maybe they'll be nice and say, "I think that's great of you to sacrifice like that for them." But it'll be hard to shake the feeling that they view you as living a purposeless life. Just like you, they were raised to think that accumulating wealth through a successful career is what makes a person valuable and interesting. And all you do is care for the minds, bodies, and souls of vulnerable human beings. Fourth, even if you'd like to work part-time to exercise some of your gifts outside the home, our economy makes it incredibly difficult to find meaningful, satisfying work. Companies either want to employ you full-time as a skilled worker or part-time in a largely mindless position, cleaning, taking orders, etc., the kind of repetitive labor you already do at home. The way we treat mothers, careers, and work is sick. That's the end of the section I wanted to read from Alan Noble's book. But I think you can see him there naming the reality that there is all kinds of cultural programming and cultural messaging that tells you if you stay at home with kids, you are a second-class citizen. You are not reaching your potential. You are not living your most fulfilling life. You are not contributing as much as you could be to society. And so because that is the dominant messaging in the culture, comments like Harrison Butker's, people who would hold up the value of motherhood and say, "Hey, this is an important vocation. This is an important role. This is something that women should take pride in and that culture should value." That's a welcome message. But you will notice how it was spun by the Los Angeles Times, "Wives should stay at home." By NPR, "A player urges female college graduates to become homemakers." And by NBC News, "A woman should be a homemaker." All of this is simply the culture taking a countercultural message that's actually very honoring to a particular vocation and role and calling and criticizing it and saying things about it that are not in fact true in order to defeat that messaging. It's fascinating to me the way that our culture continues to double down on anything like the word homemaker is a curse word. Anyone that would even commend their own wife for being a homemaker and saying it's my wife's decision to school our children and raise our children that allows me to be the man that I am and that has made me the person I am. It's amazing to me that our culture would look at a message like that and say, gosh, what a terrible, terrible thing to say. How misogynistic, how chauvinistic, how oppressive of women. And in fact, the Los Angeles Times, of course, found a student at Benedictine College who didn't like this speech. And they, of course, quoted from that person. Susanna Leisegang, a former Benedictine track and field athlete who graduated Saturday with a degree in graphic design, said she was among the handful of people who did not stand. Some of us did boo. Me and my roommate definitely did, she said in a video she posted on TikTok. I love the LA Times here doing primary source journalism, just scrolling through TikTok, finding somebody who posted a video and literally just quoting that as their source for a news story. This is welcome to modern journalism, friends. There was a standing ovation from everyone in the room except from me, my roommate, and about 10 to 15 other women. Leisegang pointed out that she is 21 and has a job lined up in her field. Getting married and having kids is not my ideal situation right now, she said. So yeah, it was definitely horrible. And it definitely made graduation feel a little less special, knowing I had to sit through that and get told I'm nothing but a homemaker, which again, is not what Harrison Butker said. Now, you might find things you disagree with in this speech. I certainly did. I'm not a Catholic. So I respect and appreciate Harrison Butker's Catholic faith, but there's a lot he says in this speech that I would just be like, yeah, I'm a Protestant. So I do not share your enthusiasm about that particular doctrinal point or the particular sort of emphasis you're giving. But here is my point in raising all of this to the forefront. I think there's some learnings for us here as Christians. First of all, it is vitally important as the church and as Christian people that we continue to elevate and value the vocation of wife and motherhood and fatherhood. The reason I think this is important is because this is what happens in the culture anytime those things are highlighted, is they get pushed down, tamped down, and even falsely reported. And it's interesting to me that there are some people who would say, you know, the church has a problem with the idolatry of family. The church has not appropriately honored single people. And I think that's true. We have work to do there. There are ways in which sort of family has become a weird ideal in Christianity. But there's also a reason for that. Because where else can you go in the world where someone will tell you, man, being a father, being a husband, being a mother, being a wife, these are noble and important and culturally significant roles. As Alan Noble put it, all you're doing is caring for vulnerable human beings at a formative age in their development. No big deal. You're just shaping the next generation of humans. So Christians and the church needs to be a place where these vocations are held up, where they are highlighted, where they are lauded and applauded, and where people can find support for that work. Because as you just saw, the support is certainly not going to come from the Los Angeles Times or from NPR or from many, many other places in culture. So the first thing I think we need to learn is just the ongoing importance for the church of being a place that values these roles. It's also, I'll come back to something else we need to learn in a second, but that reminded me, it's funny that some people said, hey, for all the emphasis the NFL has gotten, for all the bad press the NFL has gotten in the past few years for domestic abuse, for men fathering children and abandoning them, for athletes who are terrible to their wives and girlfriends, isn't it weird that this is the thing that gets the NFL saying, hey, these people don't speak for us? Is Harrison Butker saying, thanks to my wife for being an amazing human being. And the NFL's like, well, you know what? He doesn't speak for all of us. Meanwhile, you have athletes all over the place who are getting convicted, thrown in jail, losing their contracts because of various kinds of domestic abuse. And it is an incredible double standard and incredibly odd to me that because those people embrace the ideal of personal autonomy and freedom, we don't need to back away from their comments. But because Harrison Butker is holding up a Christian ideal, suddenly we need to back away from his comments. The second thing I think we need to learn as Christians from this is that it is going to take a certain kind of tenacity and courage simply to just hold what would have been considered normal Christian views. I mean, remember, this guy is a Catholic speaking at a Catholic college. There was a time in our culture where you'd be like, well, who cares? It's a Catholic commencement. He can say whatever he wants. Of course, he's going to say very Catholic things, very religious things, very conservative things. That makes sense. There used to be a time where this would not be newsworthy because we gave people freedom to have personal convictions and to hold them and to speak their mind. We now live in a moment where the energy in our culture is so pushing against any kind of public expression of Christianity that when Christians simply express simple, basic values that are biblical, it's not only met with, I don't agree with that, but good for you. It's met with, you're obviously a hater. You're obviously oppressive. You're obviously telling women they should be homemakers. You're obviously a misogynist. You're obviously someone we need to sign a petition that you would lose your job. And so what this says to me is Christians are going to need to have incredible courage simply to hold to basic baseline biblical realities. So you need to stiffen up your spine, whether it's on an issue like this or something else, as a Christian, it's going to require courage to stand for things that in the past would have been non-controversial, basic Christian principles. But in the world we live in now, it's going to take courage. And so we as Christians need to have the courage to stand in those places and to speak with conviction. I was thankful for Andy Reid in a press conference. Some reporter asked him about, you know, what do you think about Harrison Butker's obvious terrible comments that he made about women? You know, Andy Reid said, well, you guys come in here and ask me a bunch of dumb questions every week and I'll get mad at you for it. He was just sort of saying like, get over it, people. The man is allowed to have opinions and you guys have bad opinions about my team. We need to have a little bit of that peaceful, non-anxious, let it roll off your back kind of things when we encounter pushback on these kinds of issues. Christians just need to have the joyful presence just says, whatever, man, you can disagree with me, but I'm not changing my mind. And it's not even controversial to say this. And so we're going to need to have that kind of disposition and demeanor in the world when it comes to these things. The third thing I think we need to learn from this episode, and this was brought out by Jake Meter in an article at Mere Orthodoxy reflecting on this, where he said, in fact, let me read you his exact statement because I thought it was hilarious. I was like, yes, exactly. Jake Meter wrote, as others have noted, the remarks mostly amount to a fairly basic statement of Catholic teaching. And so the outrage felt more than a little forced. It was like, yeah, nothing he is saying is particularly outrageous or unusual for a convictional Catholic to say. But what Meter pointed out is, what Harrison Butker has done is he's shown himself very competent at his job. He's one of the best place kickers in the NFL. And so Meter says, when Christians are very competent and skilled at what they do, and then they say something that would bring pushback or that would cause people to react, the thing they can lean into is just, well, they're really good at what they do. Like this petition for the Chiefs to fire Harrison Butker because of what he said, you'd be crazy to respond to a petition like that because he's one of the best people at his job. And if the Chiefs let him go tomorrow, he'll be on another NFL roster by the next day because he's that good of a player. And so what the point that Meter is making is, hey, this is actually a good model for what Christians need to cultivate, which is both a convictional posture about basic Christian biblical truth and a good competence in being a blessing to the world, a good competence in our vocations and the things we give ourselves to in life. Because when we are competent, that competence, that way that we are bringing flourishing to the world matters a lot in a moment where the things we say or believe receive pushback. Here's how Jake Meter says it. All who desire to live godly lives will face opposition, we are told in Scripture, and sometimes that opposition will be fierce, remarkably unjust, and will seem to triumph. All of that is true. And yet, the commands given by Peter and the model given to us in Daniel still apply. Both of those men faced precisely that sort of opposition, after all. So even if Butker were released, he wouldn't be off the hook for submitting to Scripture's teachings. Even so, when we cultivate virtue, live honorable, quiet lives, and cultivate excellence in our work, that sort of life is both its own reward and it helps us to be more robust and resilient in public life, more able to withstand these storms than we would be had we not. I think that's a really good reminder. So listen, Christian, be good at what you do. As we talked about a few weeks ago on this podcast, cultivate competence. Be the kind of person who is good at your work, at your job, at your vocation. And then from that place, live with courageous convictions. I hope that you, as you hear this, realize also the weirdness, the strangeness, the manufactured outrage of the moment that we live in. And I hope you just let it roll off your back. I mean, we're living in a moment where people who believe very basic things that the Bible says are going to be treated like they're like it's outrageous for anyone to think that. And I think the best thing we can do is just say, yeah, Christians have always thought that. Christians have always held high the role of mother and family. Christians have always felt that for women to aspire to that is a good and noble thing. Christians have always felt like that's an important calling in life that should be promoted, honored, and valued. And so we're not going to apologize for that. Nor are we misogynistic for saying so. Nor are we telling the women of Benedictine College they should not get jobs. They should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. They should stay at home and not pursue accomplishment in the world. None of those things did Harrison Butker say, despite the way this was spun in the media. And so I think it tells you something about the cynical age we live in, and even the cynicism of the social media algorithms, where you know the way to get clicks is by framing something in the most alarming way possible. And that's what I see these news outlets doing with both the stories they report and the headlines they place on those stories, is an attempt to sort of generate some kind of controversy from a speech that was not, in fact, controversial at all. So cheers to Harrison Butker. May you have a great career in the NFL. Cheers to all you stay-at-home moms out there doing the hard work of raising kids. Cheers to all you young professional women out there doing your jobs in the world. The Bible commends all of that, and we should as well. The goal of this podcast, as we always say, is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you are a Christian or a church leader in another context, and there are many of you who listen in, we're grateful. Grateful for your engagement. We always welcome you to reach out to us by sending an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. If you have feedback or topics you want us to think about, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.